Session number 12927, reel 3.
This is Woodruff, reel 3. Yes, I was asking you if there was any feeling in Switzerland that they might get dragged into the war.
Well, they mobilised, and they got their army together, and it was at the same time as the Spanish flu epidemic. And that was even more serious than the war, because people were dying like flies, and it ran all through their mobilised forces. But...
Did you catch it yourself?
We all had it. We were 5 or 6 children. 6, I think. Or even 7. We all caught it. But one was iller than the other. One of my sisters was very ill indeed. But we all got better the way one does.
Was it just like ordinary flu, or were there differences?
It was very quick. I mean, you'd see someone in the morning, and they would be outside, and they'd be dead that evening. We knew among some of the diplomats that happened. I remember a very nice Serbian friend, and he seemed all right in the morning, and he was dead by the evening. It was very, very quick. It sort of just got one. But we weren't very bad, except for my one sister. But my mother was expecting a baby, so we had to be isolated from her, which made life more difficult.
How were the Swiss faring as far as standard of living was concerned in the war? Were they much affected?
We seemed to have everything. I think we got butter from a farm or something. You couldn't get... There was rationing, but we seemed to have everything. I remember we had meat every day if we wanted it, and butter and cheese and sweet things. Lovely confectionery, because they were brilliant at that. I don't think we ever went short of anything there.
Not even foreign tropical imports and that?
Possibly those. But I remember in the last war, missing oranges so much. And one day having lunch at the Brazilian embassy, where there were oranges, and I said, oh, how marvellous. So she gave me a huge bagful to take away.
Coming back to the Second World War, what do you remember about the celebrations for VE Day and VJ Day?
I was in Rome because I was doing refugee work with people from the camps and the bombed out in Italy by then. I was in part of something called the British Committee for Relief Abroad, British Council for Relief Abroad, and this was a council of all the different voluntary agencies who wanted to do this kind of work. Apart from the Red Cross, which was the supervising one, there were the Friends, a lot of Quakers, and that was good because there were a lot of conscientious objectors who were very useful, because you couldn't get men, you see. We all had our teams. I had my Catholic committee, which I really ran, and we were starting teams. We had teams working in Germany. I'll give you a little booklet about it. And then I did a lot of work in Italy, and we had one of our teams there. And that was when the war ended. And we were, my husband, curiously enough, had been on a lecture tour and turned up in Rome while I was there. And we went up to Assisi for a couple of days. And then suddenly there was the rumour, the war is over, the war is over. But though you couldn't telephone, nothing worked, no wireless, nothing worked. One had to do it all by rumour. And then suddenly it was most beautiful. In that most wonderful part of the world, there were beacons on all the hillside and all the bells ringing. And I couldn't have been anywhere nicer for celebrating the end of the war.
What form did the celebrations take apart from the bonfires?
Well, that evening we got down to Rome and we had dinner at the Senior Officers Hotel, the Grand Hotel, where there was much celebration and toasts and everyone in very good form. Then there was a service in one of the churches with the representatives of all the French, the Americans and ourselves. Taking it in turn to preach. And I think there was just tremendous relief. The poor went on being poor because, you see, all these officials who had run Italy during Mussolini's day were by now locked up in prison. And the men who'd been appointed to take their places were totally inexperienced. So if you had to deal with a ministry or something, it was terribly hard work, because they were full of goodwill on the whole, but they didn't know how, which was quite interesting. And there were, Monte Cassino was bombed. I went up there. There was a village at the bottom where we did some work among the people who were all bombed out from their little houses, and many of them living under canvas. And we were a much better group there than anywhere else. There were about a dozen in the team. One of them was a glorious woman called Digby Best, who lived all her life in Italy. And she was wonderful talking to them. And she would go into them and they would say to her, "You're the only people who've done anything for us." And they were terribly grateful. One thing they always wanted was soap. There was no soap. And she used to collect the soap in England. Used to go around the Italians in Soho and say, "You who never wash, give us your soap for the people in Italy." So we got the soap out that way. And there were about 300,000 lost children, what were called the shoe shop boys, because they made their money by shining the shoes of the Americans, who then gave them cigarettes. And great efforts were made to try and round them up, and there were one or two very good boys' towns, and also institutions took them in. But we used to see quite a lot of them. The British were very good to them, and produced rations and clothes and that sort of thing. And then there were a lot of, by that time, welfare organizations working in those places.
Were you able to meet the Pope?
Oh, constantly. When we go next door, you'll see a photograph of my husband and me. Well, that was with the subsequent Pope. But the Pius the 12th, I used to go in and see quite often in my khaki uniform, swagger along the Vatican corridors and were taken in with some honour and sit at his desk with him while we chatted about it all. But we had to talk German, which was so funny, because my Italian wasn't good enough and his English wasn't good enough. So we conversed in German. He'd been nuncio in Berlin. And I'd met him in Munich in the past, actually. He was a very charming and attractive person.
What did he say to you about the war? Can you remember?
Well, it was chiefly saying how we talked really about my work and the refugees, much more than the war itself, because he was always being told that he didn't do enough about the Jews. But he did a great deal that people didn't know about, actually. There was an enormous number of secret work going on. And then when, later on, the Hungarian Rising took place.
In 56?
Yes. And the Cardinal Mindszenty was imprisoned. And a very senior British RAF officer came to see my husband, and I was there in the office, and said, we did a raid. Spazil Emery, his name was. We did a raid in Denmark, Copenhagen, and we bombed the prison and we got out the people we wanted. We're prepared to do it again in Hungary to get out Cardinal Mindszenty. So I was sent to Rome to see what the Vatican's response was to this. And the answer was, we are deeply grateful for this noble suggestion, but a shepherd must stay with his flock. And they turned it down. But it was quite interesting.